I want to thank the folks for putting this group together. I'm addressing medical educators in the audience as well as public health educators, and where there's opportunities to work together. I have no relationships to disclose at this point, and I want to thank the leadership team for this particular project in the medical college. And two of my colleagues are sitting here in the third row, Dr. Brower and Abby Santana. Thank you. Thomas Jefferson University is located in Philadelphia. It is dedicated to health sciences and community health and so forth. It is the second oldest private medical school in the country, and the Department of Family Medicine was the first academic department in the country to require a third-year clerkship in family medicine back in the 1970s. The curriculum committee at Jefferson several years ago had a retreat, and they asked a group of us to look at what should we be doing as medical educators in the next 5 to 10 years. We were able to call information from a lot of existing and, turns out, new documents around health professional education, Institute of Medicine reports, work by APTR, by the CDC, by AAMC, on the whole issue of patients and populations and public health and medical education. So our leadership sort of came up with many themes, and certainly related to this particular conference is developing prevention and health promotion for everyday patient care, strategic focus on non-biologic determinants of health, and physician as advocate. And then how does one address the needs of an aging society with dignity? These were some of the ideas that the curriculum leadership and the dean's office felt we're not really covering the way we should be in the medical school. And we're really looking for what Dr. Fetterman talks about, that is medical students who will leave Jefferson and become real agents for change. So the program is called the College Within the College. There are two of those at Jefferson currently, one in population health and one in clinical translational research. And we certainly looked at other schools around the country that have been doing areas of concentration, schools such as Brown and Duke, Stanford, Pitt, Emory, and so forth. And we learned a lot from reading about their work and also talking to their leadership. We started the program in the fall of 2010, and it is a parallel and elective curriculum. It is not required of all students. It is a longitudinal mentored relationships. It is a 4-year course, which drives the registrar crazy. It can be completed within 4 years at no additional cost, no additional tuition, and opportunities to apply credits to other advanced degree programs at Jefferson, particularly towards an MPH. The QUIC Population Health Program is aimed at folks who want to be clinicians with public health skills. For folks who want additional public health training, we believe that an MPH would be the thing to do. But this is for clinicians who want to practice but want to use public health skills. Students must be in good academic standing. The program begins in February of first year of medical school once the students have gotten anatomy under their belt and realize that life goes on. There's a series of programs in years 1 and 2, years 3 and 4, which I'll talk about. And at the end of year 4, students do a scholarly product. And that may take a variety of forms. And we've also already had students publishing their work, presenting at regional and national conferences. We think that for our students, that this is a unique experience. It is a graduate student forum within a pretty traditional medical school environment. It is an opportunity for them to keep learning alive in areas that are not emphasized in the traditional curriculum. Special recognition at graduation, special paragraph in their dean's letter, certificate of completion, and credits if they want to move on. And we're defining population health. There's a lot of definitions, but by the time I retire, I want to bridge the gap between medical education and population health. And I've got a few more years to do that in this program. I think it's ideal for students who are interested in an academic career, who want to do community-based research, who come into medical school burning to address health equity and social justice, but really don't get much of an opportunity in a traditional medical curriculum. I think we'll improve quality and cost and so forth, but also folks who want to really engage with communities both locally and globally. And then medical students want to achieve beyond the curriculum. So I think this has given them an opportunity. We have a whole host of evaluation strategies that are ongoing and iterative. We do have the opportunity to use the Jefferson Medical College longitudinal study, which has been tracking students for about 35 years, and we can follow our group and see where they go in a whole manner of ways. The program builds upon work that many of us have done in the Department of Family Medicine, where we're providing primary care in Philadelphia to vulnerable populations, including the LGBT community, a homeless community, a needle exchange program, runaway youth, a pathways to housing, a wellness center in North Philadelphia, and then with colleagues in the Center for Urban Health that have been working for a decade or two in neighborhoods in southwest and North Philadelphia, in true partnership. So we're trying to link public health, primary care, in that central circle in community medicine or community health. The Jeff Hope program has been 20 years working for students in the community, Streetside Medicine and Rittenhouse Square. There's a growing refugee health center at Jefferson. We have students traveling around the world now, particularly in a project in Rwanda, doing a variety of public health related programs. And then we build upon the Jefferson School of Population Health, which has a variety of master's programs and a PhD in population health. And we put the program together, and HRSA generously funded us for 5 years to sort of grow the program and expand the program through their interprofessional primary care dual degree program. So it's a 4-year course, and this is a busy slide, but this is how we laid it out for the students, marching year 1 through year 4. We began in February of 2011 with the first cohort. We had 28 students, which is 12% of the class. We had an application essay, mentors from around the institution. And in February of 2012, cohort 2, we recruited 40 students, which is 18% of the class. The first cohort spent a variety of opportunities between their first and second year, 11 of them traveling overseas. The second year, second cohort, a variety of programs throughout the world. We had a final paper for year 1. And that is taking a public health issue, preparing a paper using the 6 components of the problem-solving paradigm. Year 1 and year 2 in this program are a combination of introduction to public health and social and behavioral foundations of public health that are directed and coordinated with what they're studying in first and second year. So we have a variety of topics, for example, race and culture. They just had finished anatomy. We asked them about, you know, how their views have changed about the body, cultural views around the body. We had sessions on advocacy, linking this social determinants with homeless prevention, global health, public health ethics, preparing students who are going overseas. In addition, we had a variety of other things. Thank you. I was at a previous session, and a young lady said she was pregnant and it was making her lungs. I'm not pregnant. Year 2, we have 18 2-to-3-hour sessions. that are really talking about behavioral theory and how that's integrated into their fundamentals of clinical medicine course. For example, health literacy program, and then looking at cardiology and the Million Hearts campaign, hepatitis and the hepatitis C campaign, and a variety of preventive services, community preventive services task force, and how it relates to their clinical practice. Palliative care is a public health issue. And we just started with our first cohort is now a third-year student. And we have a assignment for them in four of their clerkships. Community diagnosis, defining the problem, what are the 2020 people guidelines, epidemiology, prevalence, and so forth of their problem. Individual and community approaches to primary, secondary, tertiary prevention. What might have prevented an admission to a hospital or a visit to the office. We have three intersessions in the third year where we'll be working on particularly public health research methods. And year four, we're going to have students who are they have 20 weeks of electives, 5 4-week electives, and we'll be asking them to take two electives in population health, particularly in these areas. We've learned to weave this around the ebbs and flows of student examination schedules. Students shut down a week before an exam and they're ready to do anything the 2 weeks after an exam. We have to be flexible. We have to look more about small group discussions, no talking heads. Our overall program rating for Jefferson is quite good. Our Dimensions of Global Health series had a strong rating. And the challenge is, as we grow the number of students, is ensuring we have summer projects, mentoring relationships, competing with traditional curriculum, and we have a variety of pictures to show, but my time is up. We've had students presenting. One of our students just won the best poster at the American Academy of Family Practice Global Health Conference, and some of our programs in Rwanda. Thank you very much.
We can take a couple of questions.
Yes, sir.
Having lived through part of this experience far earlier in my career, I found it almost impossible to do what you are doing within the confines of the requirements of medical school. And you commented briefly on it, but how do the students do it?
They are a special group. They have committed themselves to this. When I told HRSA we were putting this together, they asked the same question. I said we would recruit 170 students over 4 years, or over a 5-year period. We're right on target. And I said we would have an attrition rate of 20%, and we're right on target. It's too much for some students. They don't know what it's about. Those that have stuck with us, just an extraordinary group of kids. And I think given them the opportunity, and I think we've done a decent job in showing them the value, both personally and professionally, that they're going to stick with it. It is a major challenge. The hidden curriculum in medical school is fierce. And it's an elective. I think there's some benefits.
It's their passion. They come into medical school having done much of this kind of work, and this gives them the opportunity to continue what they're really passionate about in addition to medical school. So I think that's what we really see.
I think there's medical students all have passion. What I'm trying to do is bring some scholarship to that passion. Mm-hmm. What is it that you're really doing? Why are you doing it? And are you really making it? Service, their service learning, and their scholarship. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what I think the students are saying.
You have another question?
One more question.